Aisha, and I'm a former host of Mocha Single Mothers by Choice, or SMCs. Like you, as an SMC, I decided to become a mother knowing I'd be the sole care provider and parent for my children, at least at the outset. The Mocha stood for Black, so I'm using the word Black, and I'll be discussing being a single mother by choice from a Black woman's lens. You'll connect with all the interesting and fun things about this non-traditional path, like discussing which sperm to use and some hard truths about fertility and the realities of dating as a single mother who doesn't have a co-parent to rely on occasionally, and what it's actually like to parent as an S&C. This is the Black Single Mothers by Choice podcast. I'm so excited to have this Ask Me Anything episode. So let's dive right into your questions. What do I tell my girlfriends who suddenly want to try to set me up with random guy friends, some guys that they met on the street and think that they're good, after I tell them I want to become a single mother by choice?
Well, I love the fact, like, not only are they taking your fertility into their hands, they don't care about your safety. They don't care about, you know, this person's character. They're just like, here's a stranger that I think looks available. Have at it. But I think I would tell them, I appreciate the offer, but I'm putting dating on hold for now, and I'm going to focus on becoming a mom. You know, this is what I want for my life. Can you support that goal? Right? Because people think that they're helping. They think that they know what you want. And sometimes you have to make it clear to them, I don't want what you think I want for myself. This is what I want, right? Nice, clear boundary. Can you support me on that? Well, and I think the way that I approach it makes it clear what you want. Now, why are we continuing this conversation if I made it clear what I want? Because now it's focused on what you want. And that's not what this conversation is about. That's not what being an S&C is about, right? All right. Number two. So I'm having trouble getting pregnant and I see all of my friends popping out babies. I'm having a really hard time being happy for them. How should I handle the fact that I want to be happy for them, but I can't help being frustrated about my own situation? I say honor your feelings because it you go into these situations faking the funk and it reveals itself in unexpected and unintended ways. So I boast other people's lives are not a reality show, right? So what you see is just a crack into what their entire lives is about. So making the assumption that someone got pregnant easily, making the assumption that, oh, why are they getting married and I'm not, that should be me, is a real dangerous assumption to make, because we all know that everything is not what it seems. Now, that being said, own your feelings and decide what boundaries you need to put in place. So if it is too triggering to go to a baby shower or have these conversations early in the pregnancy, buy yourself some time. There are ways that you can gracefully have these conversations. You can say, you know, I've got this huge project at work. I'm so happy for you. And then send them a gift package. This is totally a situation where you could throw money at it if you have it. Send them body butters, you know, to kind of buy some time to get through this fictitious project, which is just buying yourself some grace and space. Also, I've been in this situation. I've been the adult woman pining, you know, for kids and family members popping out babies, having baby showers, getting abortions, having more babies, and then, you know, having to sit on the sidelines and be like, This is not right. This is not fair. And so at some point, you do hit a breaking point where you have to say, this baby shower, I can't go to. This wedding reception, I can't really support. And so just trying to think of graceful ways. So maybe you do send the gift. Maybe you go to the baby shower, but you have something booked after right during that time. So you legitimately have a graceful exit. Like, I can only spend 45 minutes here. And I just, you know, I want to see you open your gifts and then I'm going to go. What time do you think you'll be opening gifts? Right. And then you're there, you put in face and then you're out. It is a real precarious situation because there are so many emotions involved on all parts. And you want to make sure that you navigate that with some care.
What do you say to women who look at this path as a last option for broken and downtrodden women?
So on an off day, I will say, you don't have to choose this path, period. right? But when I'm in my right mind and I've had time to kind of process the root of what they're feeling, again, at the end of this life, you know, you want to be proud of the choices that you've made, right? And so this is a choice. It's not a choice for the broken. It's not a choice for the downtrodden. It's not, you know, this is a path. This is a journey, you know, toward joy and the manifestation of all the love that you wanted to see in your life. And because life didn't happen in a specific order for you, that doesn't mean that you have to sidestep motherhood. Like, Most of the people who come to this path have wanted to be mothers for a really long time, have wanted to parent children for a really long time. Eventually you learn, you know, your kids will find you. And so it's not, this is a path where you should feel joy, you should feel empowered. And it's not a path for everyone. So choose wisely. And trust and believe, the space is full of attractive women who are smart women
and very successful, because sperm is expensive.
right. And it's like, if you want to do this with a partner, there's a plethora of options there. Are they the right partner? Are they right parenting material? I don't know. That's up to you. That's the risk you take. You know, can we find a partner for dating? We absolutely can find a partner for dating. You know, a lot of us have carved out this time specifically and put dating on hold so that we can focus on the mothering piece. We want it to be mothers. Outside of everything else, careers, dating, marriage, we want it to parent children. And at the end of the day, best believe the peace of my household starts and ends with me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this next question. So this next question came up during one of our Wine Wednesdays, and we thought it was a really good one and probably a question that a lot of working moms have in general. So how are you going about exposing your children to different things, different activities, careers, skills, and et cetera, things that spark their interests? So two things from what you said. I also thought I was going to be a doctor, and I love biology. I love science to this day. I graduated with a degree in biology with a chemistry minor. So I love the sciences, and I still look at it, you know, all of the nature shows or whatever. So I love it. I did not become a doctor, but I got exposed to just a bunch of different options. And I think by having certain adults in your life, you know, kind of, you know, help to broaden the scope for you. Teachers, college professors, or what have you, can be a real help when you get to that point. Antarctica is on my list. And I will tell you, they probably don't have a lot of cruise lines, even they're smaller cruise lines that go to Antarctica, but they're not kid friendly. That, like, they're really about the business of, you know, getting you there and doing
right.
So
that's why I was just like,
I want to go one day. So when y'all decide, and when I'm an old lady and Stella's like, you know, come on, I'm gonna pop my arthritis pills and put on a warm down jacket, and I'm down for the trip. Anyway, so some of the things that I did, like, you know, when you're becoming an SMC, you're like Michelle Obama. You're becoming, right? It is. Right? The whole 9 months leading up, the trying to conceive, it is all a journey. So you have time to kind of think about how you want to parent, the type of parent you want to be, and the things you want to expose your kids to. So for me, you know, it's about exposure. And so what activities are there in your community, in your neighborhood? And there are probably meetup groups, there are community center, there are YMCAs, there are nature-based hikes, Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, whatever. All of these different types of organizations are meant to just kind of expose your kids to the variety of things that they can do. Like, we all know swimming, ballet, dancing, you know, the different sports, and also the wealth of different things. And like Hera said, you know, take them to museums, take them to the library. Key thing here is talk to your kids. Like, you will be amazed at the things that they pick up through osmosis. Like, my daughter, you know, she has come to my job. She knows what my friends do. Leverage the different social circles that you have. You know, I have friends who are in media and marketing, senior VPs, you know, physical therapists, you know, and so have your kids talk with them, build those relationships so that they get a broad range of different different ideas. Point out things on your commute if you commute with your kid. Like my daughter was like, she wanted to be, we saw buildings being built from the ground up. And she's just like, oh, mommy, I want to build buildings. I want to make things. And I'm just like, you can definitely be an engineer. You can be an architect. You can design buildings and skyscrapers. Mm-hmm. Just spark their interest in things. My daughter's going to build me a house. We talk about this house on our way to work. She's like, mommy, you know, what do you want the backyard to look like? What do you want your bedroom to look like? And so just feed into the things that they're interested in. My daughter's a budding artist, you know, so on the architecture side, you can design landscapes and buildings and, you know, hardscapes, you know, whatever it is that they want to do, elevate it right for them. Mm-hmm. So they are at the highest peak for that thing. And if they fall somewhere in between, that's awesome. But if they get to the peak of what they love to do, my job is done. So you have all of these different opportunities to expose them. But key thing is talk to your kids, watch your kids, observe the things they're interested in and give them more of that, as well as exposing them to other things, just so that they have a clear picture of what the possibilities are. That you can leverage the SMC community. We have a broad range of careers, different socioeconomic levels represented. When I saw that my daughter was a budding artist, I reached out to one of the SMCs that is an artist. And I'm like, hey, can you show me some kids' books that, you know, will stoke this, any programming that will, you know, further inspire, you know? And then last thing I want to leave off with is parent the kid in front of you. Right? Because there's nothing more harmful than trying to fit a square peg in a round hole because you set out that my kid is going to be this. Let them be who they are and what they're going to be. You will be you will have a much richer bond with your kid because of it.
Okay, next question. My clinic told me I'm required to have a session with a counselor and I feel some kind of way about it. What are your thoughts about this requirements that you do a counseling session?
I think it's an excellent requirement. For those of you who don't know, many clinics will require, if you're using third-party gametes, whether it's an egg, sperm, embryo, a surrogate, that you sit down and you talk with a counselor just to make sure that you understand the implications and it's space to allow you to think through what you might tell your child. I did do the counseling session and it was great. It was awesome. I got to talk through what some of my fears were going through this path, some problematic family members that I knew would come up, how I might want to handle it. I got some resources and articles and texts on how to have conversations with your kid. I think that there are a lot of people who come to this path with unaddressed issues, whether it's regarding the, you know, relationships, whether it's regarding disappointment for having to choose this path, whether it's regarding, you know, fears, how do I tell my parents and things like that. So I think that there's a lot that you can get out. That session is for you. And to sidestep it means that you are setting yourself up and you're ill prepared, possibly to have some of the conversations that are coming down the pike for you. Non-judgmental, right?
Exactly.
And I will piggyback on what Hara said. I used a therapist for my EAP. And little secret, I would definitely leverage the race card because it does come into play. Like, you know, sometimes I just want a Black person to sit down and talk to. And if their entire roster of therapists that are charging $250 to $300 a session are white people.
Mm-hmm. Who don't take insurance.
Right. In this day and age, no. You're about to pay them five figures. I want to be able to choose the person that I talk to. So, all right, last question. We get this one a lot. How do you deal with unsolicited advice from family, friends, and strangers? I will tell you, I tend to walk around when I have my kids with resting bitch face. I'm not here for the play. And so for strangers, I rarely get questions or assumptions from strangers other than what they would infer and microaggress against Black women. But for family and friends, you know, they will usually lead the conversation with, I wouldn't want to do that. I'm not sure. Like, oh, that's so sad for you. And my clipped response is, thank you. Luckily, it's my life and not yours, right? These are decisions for me and not you. So what you might not be able to handle, I definitely can handle. And we're different people. And then it shuts down the conversation. Not asking. Yeah. Keep in mind that also people tend to speak from a real self-centered perspective. And so they're speaking to what their needs are and not necessarily seeing you or your needs. And then to the people who are like, why don't you just go to a bar and get knocked up? Mm-hmm. Do you not know how babies are made? Do you not know the risk that you're exposing your body to from a health STI and STD perspective? I would hate to have to also carry an HIV status with me along with my pregnancy. So let me be caution.
Full Pod, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with your girlfriends, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topics covered in this episode. So email me at mochasnc@gmail.com. If you found value in the topics covered, consider making a donation using the link in the show notes below. Till next time, Pod. Bye now.